You'll find our text this morning in the book of Genesis, chapter number 27. Genesis chapter 27. Very familiar scripture this morning, but I pray God would bless the reading of His Word and may it encourage us this morning in the Word of God. Genesis chapter number 27. We'll be reading verses 1 through 22. Genesis 27, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here I am. And he said, Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison. And make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau, his son, and Esau went out to the field to hunt venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, Give me venison and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I am command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from hence two good kids of goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will fail me, and shall seem to him as deceiver, and shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. And his mother said to him, Upon me be thy curse, my son, only obey my voice, and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought to them his mother, and his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. Verse 15, And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were within a house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave savory meat and the bread which she had prepared unto the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according to thou madest me. Arise, my prey, and sit and eat my venison, that my soul may bless thee. And Jacob, and Isaac said to his son, How is it thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said to Jacob, Come near, I pray, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. Father, we want to thank you this morning for the word of God. We want to thank you, Father, that we can assemble ourselves together on this beautiful morning as brothers and sisters in Christ, read the word of God, to pray to our Savior, pray to our Father, to praise you and thank you for the blessings you have bestowed upon us. Lord, I think we can all say this morning, you have been good to each and every one of us, and we thank you for that. God, I pray now that you would bless the reading of your word, that you would encourage the saints of God, the church of God to be edified. Lord, your son, Jesus Christ's name would be magnified and uplifted. And we'll give you the praise, the thanks, the glory for all that's done in our midst this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In our text this morning, as we read, we find that Isaac is an old man. He's nearing his death. He doesn't know how much longer he has here on earth, and he wants to bless his eldest son, Esau. Esau's going to receive a blessing because he is the eldest. We know this as the Abrahamic covenant of the blessings of God. God gave to Abraham, and Abraham gave it to Isaac. And now Isaac is going to give it to Esau, and we find that Jacob is left out of this blessing. I think of Jacob's ability, first of all. You know, Jacob, he had no ability to receive this blessing. Jacob was the younger son. No doubt Esau and Isaac were twins. Esau was the eldest twin, and he had no ability to receive this blessing that Isaac was going to give. Esau was the eldest, and this blessing was not Jacob's to receive. It didn't matter what Jacob did. It didn't matter how hard he worked. It didn't matter how hard he labored or how much he loved his father Isaac. This blessing was not Jacob's to receive. We find he had no ability. He had no ability. He had no right to receive this blessing. But Jacob, he was also not only aware of his inability to receive this blessing, but he was aware that he was not able to receive it. We find here Jacob had no ability. He was aware of it. We find he was reluctant in going and coming to the Father. He was hesitant to receive this blessing. And let me say this morning, it was a good day in my life. And I believe it was a good day in your life when you was aware that you could not come before the Father on your own merits. And Jacob comes before his father reluctantly, aware that he was not able and he was not worthy to receive this blessing. He had no merit. He had no credentials. He had nothing in his life that honored and was able to receive this blessing. He had no access to his father. He had no access to this throne. He had no access to come before his father to receive this blessing. You know, we'll never receive what God has for us spiritually through salvation and the blessings of God that were sung about this morning until we're aware that we do not deserve them, and every good and perfect gift cometh from the Father above. We find Jacob's blessing, it's not his to receive. We find that Jacob is not able to inherit this blessing for who he was. But the end of the story, and as you know, as we read Genesis chapter 27, Jacob walks away blessed. Jacob walks away favored. Jacob walks away with this Abrahamic covenant promise in his life. He inherits in something that he never should have received in the beginning. You say, preacher, Jacob received this by lies. He received it through deception. He received it through trickery. He received it through deceiving his father. But I think as we read this story, I believe as we read this text, we find that Jacob receives this blessing because he comes to the Father in the place of someone else. I want to preach on the thought this morning, coming to the Father. Jacob comes to the Father, not on his merits, not on his greatness, or not even on his name, but he comes, number one, to the Father in a different alias. Verse number 18. And he came unto his father and said, My father, and he said, Here I am. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. Jacob, he comes to the Father, and he takes on the alias of someone else. He takes on the name of the beloved son, Esau. He's not standing before his father now on the name of Jacob, on the name of this deceiver, but he's standing on the name that his father loves to hear, and that's the name Esau. Jacob's not favored by the father. Esau is. It's Esau that gets his dad's attention. It's Esau that when Esau's name is spoken, that the father's ears poke up. We find he comes on the alias, on the name, on the title of someone else. And that's the name of Esau. What's the father Isaac going to give? It was a blessing. It was something, a promise that was going to last for eternity. It was a blessing that Jacob so dearly wanted, but he couldn't receive it. It wasn't for everyone. It wasn't for Jacob. It wasn't for the ones down the street. It was for Esau and Esau only. You see this blessing? It was Esau's and it was not Jacob's. But Jacob finds himself standing before the Father in the alias of someone else. You see, Jacob's name could not earn him this blessing. Jacob's title could not merit this blessing. His name would not get an audience with the Father. His name would not give the ear to the Father. But it was going to be the identity of Esau that got Jacob this blessing. We find Jacob's name means deceiver. His name means trickster. It means surplanter. Jacob was a con man. And I want to say this morning, we all can identify with Jacob. We were born in sin, full of wickedness, full of deceit, full of lies. But when we come to the Father, He's not listening for my name. He's not listening for your name. And He's not listening for Jacob's name. But He's listening for the name of the beloved Son, Jesus Christ. However, we find He's waiting to hear this name. And Jacob's now standing before his Father, coming in the name that the Father loves to hear. I want to say this morning, there is a name I love to hear and tell of its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. It's the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus because He first loved me. When we come before the Father this morning, we don't come before Him on our merits, on our works, on our deeds, on our righteousness, on our own name or title, but we come in the name of the darling beloved Son, Jesus Christ. We find the Father's ears poke up. Is that you, Esau? And Jacob's standing in there in a different alias. And he says, yes, Father, it's me. It gets his Father's attention. It gets his merit to stand before Him. It earns an audience with the Father because Jacob came in the alias of someone else. And Esau welcomes him in. He says, come on in, Esau. Come on in and talk with me and sit with me and enter into my presence. Philippians 2:9. The Bible says, wherefore God hath highly exalted Him. That's Jesus Christ. And given Him a name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in the things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The reason we pray in Jesus' name, the reason we end our prayers in Jesus' name, is because that's the only name this morning that will get the Father's attention. It's a high name. It's a lovely name. It's a blessed name. It's a bloodstained name. It's a wonderful name. That's the name of Jesus. And Jacob stands before his Father, just like you and I. We have to come in the name of Jesus Christ to have audience with God the Father. I was thinking, back in the Civil War, there was a young man that had a great burden for his country, for his president, and for his nation. He comes to the White House, and he wants audience with this great President Abraham Lincoln. And there he makes his way to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. He walks up to those big swinging gates and he's going to enter right in. But he finds himself with two muskets. Two guards stop him and ask him what his business is on the White House grounds. He tells these guards that he has a burden, that he's troubled, that he wants to pray and he wants to meditate and speak with President Abraham Lincoln. They ask to see his credentials. They ask to see his invitation or what merit that he has. And he has none. Those guards quickly escort him off the property, tell him to leave and to never come back. This man, he walks a few ways down the on the sidewalk there, and he's sitting there, and he has his head in his hands, and he's brokenhearted. He doesn't understand. He knew that God had asked him to go and pray and to seek the president and to give him a word of encouragement, and he's sitting there soaking, brokenhearted, and here comes a young boy, a young lad skipping down the road, playing and throwing rocks, and he says, "Mister, what are you so sad about?" He says, son, you wouldn't understand. But I need to pray. I need to speak to the president. But those guards won't let me in. But you wouldn't understand. Just go on your way. He said, mister, take my hand and come after me. He grabs that man's hand. They walk up to that same gate. Those guards stand at attention. They open that door. That young boy and that man, they walks right in where that servant opens that door. And they make their way down that mirrored hall. And that door of the Oval Office swings open. That young boy drops that man's hand, runs around the desk to Abraham Lincoln and says, Daddy, this man wants to talk to you. You see, the president had an audience because of his son. This morning, when we come to Jesus Christ, in our sins, in our deceit, in all of our trickery, in all of our lie, it's the only way that we can get audience with God the Father. Jacob, he comes to the Father on the alias of someone else. Number two, Jacob assumes the attire of someone else. Verse number 15. The Bible says, and Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. Verse 15 says, Rebekah took goodly raiment. Jacob not only takes on Esau's name, but now Jacob is taking on Esau's clothes. He's not only coming in the name of Esau, but now Jacob is dressed. Jacob is clothed like Esau. Jacob's attire now looks like Esau's. Your Bible says it was goodly raiment. Means it's precious raiment. Means it's a pleasant clothing. It's greatly desired clothing. And now Jacob, he doesn't look like his old self. He doesn't look like this deceiver. He doesn't look like a trickster. But rather, he looks like Esau, the beloved son. Verse number 26. The Bible says, and his father Isaac said to him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him and smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him. I want to say this morning, your garments is inducive to the smell you produce. If you come in this morning wearing soiled, dirty, stained, sweaty, unwashed garments, you're going to produce a foul odor. It will permeate something putrid. And for Jacob to get this blessing, he couldn't come in his own raiment. He couldn't come in his own clothes, but he had to assume the attire of his eldest brother, Esau. For Jacob to get this blessing, he couldn't look like himself, but he had to look like the father's beloved son. Isaac the father, we see, says, come here, come near. He says, kiss me. Let me touch you. Let me feel your hands. Let me feel the back of your neck. Let me touch your clothes. You sound an awful lot like Jacob. You sound an awful lot like this trickster or deceiver. But you feel, you smell, you're dressed an awful lot like my son. My goodness this morning. My merits this morning, my works this morning, your righteousness this morning, your deeds this morning, in the sight of a holy God, stinks. My sins stink. My life stinks. Everything about me stinks. How can I come to the Father and He say, you smell, you look, you're clothed just like my Son, Jesus Christ. We come in the name, in the alias, in the attire of someone else. Paul addressed it to the church at Corinth. It was a carnal church. It was a church full of deceit. This church was a bunch of hard-headed church members. They was divisions among the church. There was bickering among the church. And Paul was saying, all that stinks. Your sin stinks. Your arguing, your bickering, your backbiting stinks. But when you're saved, he said, something changes. 2 Corinthians 2:15. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. This morning, the only reason I can stand before the Father, the only reason I can come before the Father, is because I'm robed like Jesus Christ, the beloved Son. I'm happy to say this morning, you're robed, if you're saved, in that goodly raiment, that precious raiment of Jesus Christ. That old bluegrass song, Brother Drake. The first man was earthly and made of the ground. We bore all his image the whole world around. The next was my Savior from heaven so fair. He gave me a new coat you now see me wear. My Savior has dressed me in garments so rare. He clothed me with glory and his image I'll forever wear. I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do. I laid off the old coat and Jesus Christ robed me with his new. I'm glad this morning I'm come in the attire of someone else. But the question is, what are you standing before God in this morning? Are you coming on your own works? Being a good church member? On religion? Being a good person? Having an emotional experience? Jesus said something about the outerwear. We find in Mark chapter 5, verse 20. He said, for I say unto you, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. He went on to talk about those righteous religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees of that day that robed themselves with their outer garments. He said, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but within are full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness. Jacob, in all of his sin, this deceiver, a trickster, a liar, a con man, he stands before the Father. He may sound like himself, but he don't look like himself. He's dressed like the beloved Son. He's clothed like the exalted Son. He smells like the darling Son. You say, why? Why did he have access? Why did he have audience with the Father? Because he came in the alias of another, and he came in the right attire of another. And Isaac says, because of that, Jacob, I will bless thee. I notice in our text, Pastor, that Jacob has nothing to lose in coming to the Father. He had nothing to lose and everything to gain. We find that Jacob wouldn't be cast out. Jacob was not going to be left out of the wheel. Jacob had nothing to lose and everything to gain. Why? Because Jacob comes risk-free from all accusations. Notice our text in verse 11. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father, preadventure, or perhaps, will fill me and seem to him as deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. Here it is, verse 13. And his mother said to him, upon me be thy curse. Jacob comes before his father. He comes in the right alias. He comes in the right attire. Now he's coming risk-free from all accusations. He says, Mom, if my daddy calls me out on my sin, if daddy calls me out that I'm trying to trick, if he sees I'm a liar, if he sees I'm a sinner, if he sees I'm a trickster, he's going to curse me. And here's what his mama said. His mama said, upon me be thy curse. I'll take your punishment. I'll take the curse. I'll take the beating. Let me say this morning, I'm glad someone else has taken my curse. When I was found guilty, when I was found wanting, when I was found sin and lies and deceit and ungodly, Jesus Christ, full of grace and full of mercy and truth, took my curse. That song we sing, I never could quite understand why a king would leave his throne to take on the robe of earthly man and feel the pain of flesh and bone. Then to later trod that lonesome path that led to Calvary, where the blood-red stains broke all my chains, that I could still go free. Not worthy to live, not fit to kill, but Jesus on the cross put me in His will, that I could still go free. When you came to Christ, repented of your sin, asked God to forgive you, Jesus Christ, He took your curse upon Himself. We find God's called out our sins. God's called us out. For the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:3-2. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, there is none righteous. No, not one. We find in Corinthians, be not deceived. Neither fornicators, or idolaters, or adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. We've been called out. We've been found wanting. We've like Jacob. We don't have a right to this blessing. But God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, took our curse. Good news. You're here this morning. You've never been saved. You've never been redeemed. Your sins aren't forgiven. Just like Jacob, you have nothing to lose in coming to the Father and everything to gain. You just have to come in the name of Jesus. You just have to come in the works and the righteousness and what He did on Calvary in Jesus. And Jesus will take your curse. One writer said it this way. He said, God treated Jesus like me on Calvary so He could treat me like Jesus eternally. Listen to Galatians 3:13. For Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. This morning, the only reason you're saved, the only reason you're in the house of God with a Bible in your lap, the only reason you have eternal life, your sins are forgiven, your heaven's your home, God the Father accepts you, it's because Jesus Christ took our curse. He says, upon me be thy cursed. Yet some of you this morning, you've mocked, you've rejected, you've waited, you've put off, you won't come to the Father. You don't have to, come and accept this free gift. You won't, come to the Father and ask Him to save you. And your curse is still upon you. Jacob, he comes to his father in the right alias. Jacob comes to his father in the right attire. Jacob comes to his father with a risk-free accusation. I see fourthly, Jacob comes and is granted a promise. That's ageless. Jacob, he starts out in this text not able to receive this blessing, his ability. He's aware that he can't receive it. It's not his to receive. But yet we find he walks away with an ageless promise. He acquires something that's abiding. He receives something that's ageless. Something, let me put it this way, something that Jacob cannot lose. Verse 26 through verse 30. The Bible says, and his father Isaac said to him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is the smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore, God, give thee a new of the dew of heaven and the fatness of earth and plenty of corn and wine. And let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren. Let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Here it is. Cursed be everyone that curses thee, and blessed be he that blesses thee. We call this the Abrahamic covenant. God gives it to Abraham. Abraham gave it to Isaac. Now Isaac gives it to Jacob. Jacob's going to give it to the 12 tribes. And it's ongoing. It never stops. It's a national, ageless blessing. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus comes back with the saints of God who fight that great battle of Armageddon. And there we find the judgment of nations. The Bible says he takes the sheep and the goats. He puts the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And that's not speaking of the saved or the unsaved. That's speaking to the nations. That's speaking about this blessing that he says that I'm going to bless you if you blessed Israel. He said, for when I was hungry, did you feed them or did you curse them? He said, when they were thirsty, did you bring them water or did you curse them? He said, when they were naked, did you clothe them or did you curse them? When they were sick, did you visit them or did you curse them? You see, Isaac gave Jacob a blessing, a promise that's endless, that's ageless. And all we know, Jacob, he was a trickster from day number one. He sinned after he got this blessing. He failed God after he got this blessing. He denied God many times after this blessing. But this blessing never left Jacob. I want to say this morning, God has given us that are saved, not a national blessing, but a spiritual blessing that's ageless. And just like Jacob, I've sinned more after I've been saved. I've failed God more after I've been saved than before I was saved. But yet he's given me something, just like Jacob, that I cannot lose. That's forgiveness of sin. That's an eternal home in heaven. That's peace and joy in my heart. And that's the ability to come before a righteous God. It's an ageless blessing. It's ever ending. We see that Jacob's was a national promise. Ours is a spiritual promise. And like Jacob, even though we failed, we can't lose this blessing. For when he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. He views me in garments much more whiter than snow. For the Lamb of God is worthy, and he washed me. This I know. Practically this morning, I'm rotten to the core. Practically this morning, I'm wicked and good for nothing. But positionally this morning, I smell pretty good to the Father. I'm preaching to someone this morning. You've never come to the Father. You're afraid. You don't have to clean up. You don't have to make things right. You don't have to straighten things out. You just come to the Father this morning on the name of Jesus Christ. You come to the Father in the attire of Jesus Christ. And just like Jacob, you'll find you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Good news. God's given us something that we can't lose. All we have to do is come. Jacob starts out, has no right to the blessing, doesn't have merit to the blessing, doesn't have audience with the Father. But he comes in the right alias, the right attire, with risk-free accusations, and receives a blessing that's ageless. Why don't you come this morning? The girl sang just a few minutes ago that song, I am amazed that he would take the time to give me such blessings to fill up my life. Has God blessed you this morning? Why don't you come and thank him? Has God been good to you this morning? Why don't you find yourself around this altar praising his name? God wants to save you this morning. Why don't you come to the Father on the name of Jesus? We'll have our musicians come. Someone come play something on the piano, please. We all stand. Father, we want to thank you this morning for your mercy, for your grace. We want to thank you this morning that we can come to the Father on the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. We want to thank you this morning, Father. It's not our works, not our merits, but the righteousness that we're clothed in from Jesus. We want to thank you, Lord, that you've given this. You've put inside of this spiritual blessing. Father, even though we fail you, even though we sin, it's something that we cannot lose. God, it's just because of your goodness we're here this morning. God, I pray that you'd help us, you'd encourage us through your word. I pray, Father, that you would soften the hearts of your people. I pray, Father, you would save that one that's never called upon your name. God, give them the encouragement, Father. Give them the boldness to make that first step. To ask you to save them, Lord. And they'll find they have nothing to lose. We thank you, God, for this good people. Thank you for the songs. Thank you for the fellowship, Lord. The opportunity to assemble ourselves back in the house of God. Lord, we can say this morning, you have been good to us. We thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for our young people. Lord, I pray that you would help them, encourage them. Help them resist the fiery darts of Satan. Lord, let them walk in purity. Let them walk, Father, in obedience and seek the kingdom of God first. And we know that promise that all these things will be added unto them. Help them, Lord. Help our church. Help the family of Brother John Sellers that went home to be with the Lord. Give them peace. Give them comfort. Be with those in our church, Father, that are going through hardships, trials, suffering, hospital visits, surgeries, Lord, that have lost loved ones over several months. I pray for them. God, we just ask you to help us now. In thy Son's name we pray. Amen.